Hi, today is September 29th, 2018. This is Comics News Podcast 101. I'm Todd Ogasawart, my good friend Jay Stone, and today we're mostly going to talk about the new or recently launched DC Universe streaming service and digital comic book service, all in one. But first, we just wanted to note a passing. Jay noted earlier this week, I think, that artist Norm Breifogel, hope I'm pronouncing his name correct, passed away. And I can't say I know a whole lot about him. I remember some of his Batman work. Jay, do you have were you a big fan of Norm's?
Yeah, I really liked his style. So I actually picked up his run on was it Detective Comics or Batman?
Yeah.
Because of his artwork. I went, "Wow, that looks really good. I really liked it." And yeah. So he did the Ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite villains. Right. He did a few others. I think he did Victor Zsasz. He created Victor Zsasz, Anarchy. He created Jeremiah Arkham.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he actually created several characters in the DC universe, and I really liked his. He had a very clean style, I thought.
Yeah.
And then I also used to collect a lot of independent comics. I used to collect a lot of First comics.
Hmm.
So I don't know if you remember if you picked up Whisper.
No, I don't even know the character.
She was a female ninja.
Oh, okay.
So he drew her. She was very lithe, you know, very slender. It was a good comic. And he did, I used to like American Flag. So I used to pick up a lot of the First comics before they folded.
American Flag was created by...
Chaykin. Howard Chaykin.
Howard Chaykin, yeah. Kind of Chaykin. Kind of a Captain America-like, except nastier, as I recall.
Yeah, way nastier. Very adult. It's an adult comic.
Yeah.
It's a good comic, but it's an adult comic.
Yeah.
Whisper was more of a conventional, adventure comic.
Right.
Unfortunately, First went out of business. They had some pretty good comics.
Yeah.
So it was sad because he had like a stroke a couple years ago.
Yeah, he wasn't that old, right?
No, he was, 50 something?
Yeah, he wasn't that old. I mean, he wasn't like in his 80s or 90s or whatever. That was sad.
He was 58 when he passed. And then he was also, you remember Malibu?
Yes, publisher, yes.
Yes, Malibu, right before they got bought by Marvel.
Right.
Which was so sad, because they just basically got rid of everything. He created Prime.
Oh, I remember Prime. He was like a Superman or Captain Marvel-like.
Yeah, he was like Captain Marvel.
Or Shazam, I guess you would call him now. But
yeah, so he was a kid who became an adult.
Right.
Right, that was like their biggest hit, right, was Prime.
Yeah, I think I bought a couple issues of that.
So he was a co-creator of Prime. So he did, and he had some independent works. He was a good artist, but after he had a stroke, I'm not sure he could work anymore.
That's sad.
He did a lot of commercial work, he worked for Marvel for a while, but I think his biggest run was in the one I'm most familiar with is really the Batman Detective Comics.
Right.
He did Shadow the Bat. I picked that up for a while. You know how they had like. At one time, they had like four or five Batman series.
Yes, I remember that.
'90s or something.
Yeah.
Like Legend of the Dark Knight, Detective Comics, Batman, and then they had Shadow of the Bat.
Right.
So, like, I picked up like the first few issues of the Shadow of the Bat. So they were pretty good. He was a really good penciler. He was a really good penciler. It's sad to hear of his passing, and so young too.
Yeah. Now, the other person that passed away in our In Memoriam series was one of my favorite artists, actually. It's Marie Severin.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one. That was a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I think she passed away at the end of October. Not October. Around, like, August 29th. So it was about a month ago now.
She's Spider-Woman, right?
Yeah, I think she did this costume. But for her penciling, although she's also well-known as a colorist, but I think she was head colorist for Marvel for a number of years. But I remember her pencils on comic books like The Hulk, frequently inked by Herb Trimpe, who was another one of my favorite inkers. The Hulk, I think she did maybe Submariner, and Captain America. Really, really nice, clean art. And, her anatomy was always right on. Sometimes some people, some other favorites of mine, like Jack Kirby, really exaggerated an anatomy, but hers were always like dead on. The proportions were, they're, big guys, but they're always dead on. And ladies, but, as in Spider-Woman, but really, really wonderful artist. Really enjoyed her stuff. She also did a lot of humor comics. I think she won a couple awards for her humor work, too.
Yeah, she won the Shazam Award, Best Penciler Humor Division.
Yeah.
And she's in the Will Eisner Comics Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. I mean, you know, well-deserved. So
she worked at EC Comics for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, no. Yeah, she did work for EC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
She was a colorist.
Right.
Yeah, right. Wow. Yeah, I remember that. I've forgotten about that one.
Yeah, I mean, her active years are probably before you got a lot of interest in comics. Or her most active years, I should say. But if you've collected some of the older stuff from the 60s and 70s, you'll be sure to see her work.
But yeah, she did Not Grant Eck.
Yep, which is hilarious.
Call the Conqueror, Daredevil.
Yep.
Conan. Wow, she did Conan?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that must have been interesting. She must have been one of the few female artists.
Yeah, absolutely. Very few female artists. Well, just period, really. Even now, there aren't that many. I mean, you know, percentage-wise. So.
Oh, she did Doctor Strange.
Yep.
And she created Living Tribunal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
So, at any rate, one of my favorite artists. But she had apparently a nice long life, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not, unlike, you know, Mr. Breifogel.
Yeah, that's so sad.
But at any rate, so, you know, we've had a lot of these immemorials, but. But at any rate, there's some of our favorite artists, you know, Norm Breifogel for you. Not to say he wasn't, you know, one of mine, but certainly didn't make the impression on me that Marie Severin did. I remember searching out her work because her work was so good, in my opinion.
She is really good. I've been looking at it.
Yeah.
A lot of the humor stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. And they're so different in style, you know, from the very cartoony to the, you know, more traditional superhero look.
Right.
And the thing I liked about her humor stuff was she still brought a little bit of the traditional superhero stuff. So it was just enough that was, oh, yeah, that makes it super funny because it kind of looks like, you know, a superhero, but in a cartoonish way.
You know, when I was a kid, I probably didn't know she was a woman because when she signs it, right, she just says Severin.
Yeah. And she also, I think her brother was John Severin, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was another fantastic artist, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was working at EC Comics And it sounds like that's how she got into EC Comics.
Yeah, yeah. And he also did a lot of stuff for Marvel. I mean, lots and lots of stuff for Marvel. You would see their two names all over the place. And if you look back on comics in the 1960s and 70s.
Oh, well, her Hulk was really good.
Oh, yeah.
She draws a good Hulk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, she was one of my favorites, especially in the Hulk. You know, the Hulk had the right massiveness without being outlandish looking to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say that's a good characterization.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
But a wonderful career, and, you know, a lot of us still appreciate her work, so I think that, you know, her work carries on in our memories, in digital form, since you can now pick up old comic books a lot easier than you used to.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, to be honest.
Yeah. And speaking of old comics, I guess we'll segue into our main topic, and that's the recent launch of DC Universe combination of streaming video service and comic books, which is kind of interesting. So it's a combination of, like, Netflix and Comixology.
Yeah. Yeah, weirdly, huh?
Yeah.
Netflix and Comixology.
Yeah. So, you know, a couple of things is I'm just writing down, speaking of Comixology, let's start with the comics, because, you know, it's funny, you know, the first thing I should say is, it's what, $70 a year? You can buy it monthly, but it's cheaper to buy it annually, and it works out to, if I recall, something like $6.25 a month. If you pre-ordered it, like Jay and me, and I only pre-ordered it because I heard Jay said he did it and I copied him, I think we're getting 15 months. It launched a couple of days early. Yeah, the Android app appeared like 4 days before the service was supposed to launch, and the iOS app launched, and I think the web version also, and then the iOS version launched like 2 or 3 days before the service launched, so I got a little preview of it.
I was in Japan when it happened, so I tried.
Oh.
But it knew where I was.
Oh, and wouldn't let you.
And it wouldn't let me, and I even tried a VPN as if I was in...
Right.
U.S.
Yeah,
and it it must block VPNs because I couldn't get in.
Yeah, I hate
just
that.
Like Netflix. Netflix won't let me use a VPN.
Yeah, it used to, but not anymore.
So I tried so hard to, like, I would just let it run and see if it would work. I tried using the web. I tried using the app.
Right.
None of it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to, I got to wait all the way till I got back.
Till he got back home.
Yeah. And I did. The night I came back, you know, that night, which took forever for me to get home.
Right, right.
My flight got canceled. I got home. I was hungry. I ate something, and I watched DC Universe.
That was your reward to yourself for making it home.
For enduring that.
So, you know, the thing that the original programming doesn't start until, I think, second week of October, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Titan. So the first thing, and there's a lot of other stuff I'll talk about later in the video, or we'll talk about in the videos, but let's talk about the comics first, because I find that kind of interesting. You know, I know you kind of swore off Comixology, but I'm still buying through Comixology. And I was kind of hoping that DC Universe would help with my monthly, and I don't buy anything regularly, but, you know, my month, let's call it monthly expenses. But it has, but not in the way I expected. So it's a mix of Golden Age, Silver Age, and modern comics, although there's nothing after 2016, I think. And there's an odd comic book series run. So, like, Adventure Comics, you know, where Legion of Superheroes first appeared? They've got a really weird sequence where there's about 24, 25 issues of stuff from the mid-60s. And the really funny thing is, you know, there's a really interesting two-part story in that time called the Legion of Adult Heroes, where, you know, it was kind of a what happens when the Legion grows up to be adults. And I've had the first issue of that two-parter, but I've never found the second issue, and I'm too cheap to go buy it. You know, in collectibles. So they have this, like, whole run of adventure comics of about 25 issues, and right in the middle, that one issue is missing. So I still can't read the second part.
Hmm. Yeah. The comics, they do, like, there's Doom Patrol, not Doom Patrol 1, but, like, Doom Patrol 18.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, with Titans, there's Titans 1, number
right.
1.
Right.
Right? So, and then there was, like, New Gods.
And that's
number
it.
Number 1?
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. So... It's an I don't know how they're picking the comics.
Right. I don't get it either.
There's supposed to be like a couple thousand comics you can access.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple hundred right now. I think it's less than 1,000. But I think eventually, yeah. It's really, like you said, it's really odd. I can't figure it out. And sometimes, like you mentioned, there'll be just one comic in a run, and sometimes there'll be 60.
Yeah. It's almost as if they don't have the rights themselves to stream it.
Right.
Which is possible, right? Just because they're Warner Brothers or a division of Warner Brothers doesn't mean that they would themselves be able to have the rights. The rights could be holed up with someone else.
Yeah, it might still be with Comixology, for example. Like that one issue I want to get.
It's so complicated.
Yeah, maybe I should just buy it from Comixology, but anyway. But yeah, it is complicated. But that said, even though it doesn't have new comics, which is kind of disappointing, but understandable, I'm still getting a lot of bang for the buck, I think. I've been reading a lot of Nightwing stuff, which is, you know, it was one of those things where I'm not a huge Nightwing fan, but it was there, and it was like, you know, a 12-issue miniseries or something. So I just said, I'll download it, and, it, you know, just been really enjoying going through it somewhat slowly, because, you know, I don't read comics all at one sitting. I just, you know, if I'm standing in line or waiting at the elevator or something, I'll read a couple panels, that kind of thing. And I should say, I'm reading it on my Pixel 2 phone. I'm not reading it on an iPad.
Oh, I'm not even reading it on my phone. I read it on my television.
Oh, interesting.
I haven't actually been using it on my phone because I have my Apple TV. So I'm my experience is only with the Apple TV.
Interesting.
So I don't know if some of the things I'm noticing are unique to the Apple TV app.
Right.
Because I haven't tried it with the phone app yet.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So, like, what I noticed is that when I'm reading a comic,
right,
like I was trying to read Teen Titans 1, right?
Right.
I don't have it, and I don't think I've ever... I read a preview of it.
Okay.
But I don't think I ever picked up Teen Titans number 1. Because so I'm reading Teen Titans number 1, and when I move from panel to panel...
Right.
And I'm still trying to figure out how to advance properly. I haven't figured that out yet. Some of the text, the word bubbles or text area,
right,
are cut off.
Mm.
Not all the time, but every it's like because it's like it doesn't fit in the way that it wants me to navigate.
Right, right, right.
And so, like, sometimes, you know, like, you'll have two panels, one on top and one on the bottom, and the words actually go to the bottom
right,
panel.
Right.
But the way the reader is working, it only shows me the upper panel.
Mm. So.
And then when I scroll through, I don't see the word on the bottom panel. So it's like sometimes, like, one line will get cut off or half of the last line.
Right.
And so that was, like, a little disappointing.
I think I can tell you what's happening.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I think I can tell you what's happening, and it goes into my comment. One of my comments that I have in the notes for this podcast is that the comic book reader for DC Universe is not nearly as good as the Comixology comic book reader. Although its user experience is somewhat similar, and here's what's happening. So I'm reading it. So you're reading it one panel at a time on your TV. Is that correct? Mostly.
Yeah. Well, I can't really control.
Oh.
I don't know how to use it because there's no help. There's no like help screen that tells me how to view it, right?
Okay.
On the Apple TV app. So okay. I'm just like using my remote and right. like tapping it or swiping it and right. trying to figure it out. So it knows to like splash pages. It knows to like zoom out and zoom in. It understands yeah. how to do that pretty well.
Okay. Okay.
It's just that sometimes some of the words get cut off on the bottom.
Okay, so let me go back again and tell. I think I know what's happening. What's happening is that because you're on the Apple TV, you are always in landscape mode, presumably.
Oh, okay.
What I found, and again, I'm using a Pixel 2 Android phone to do most of my reading. On occasion, I'll read it on a iPad, but mostly I'm just standing around reading one panel at a time as I'm waiting for stuff. So what's happening is that the panels are meant to be read in portrait mode.
Oh.
Yeah. Even if it's not optimal. In other words, you know, let's say you have a landscape format panel. In other words, it's wider than it's tall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense to read it in landscape mode. So, you know, on my phone, I would turn it to landscape mode and, you know, the picture gets bigger, it's easier to see, it's kind of, you know, fun to look at the arts, that kind of thing. But like you, when I'm in landscape mode, I notice that sometimes the words at the bottom or words at the top, or I should say the line. So in a word bubble, the part of the line or all of the line at the top or part of the line or all of the line at the bottom may be cut off. And even if you go to the next panel, you don't see it. But if I turn it to portrait mode, I can see all the words. Although now the you know, the panel is kind of tiny, but at least I can read the words. So that's what I found. I don't know if there's a way to do that in the Apple TV app, but what I would suggest is go use your phone to read it.
I saw the preview, right, with Kevin Smith. He's like, oh, I'm watching, you can watch comics, you can read comics on your television. So that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I know I don't need all the words, but that makes sense to me now. It thinks it's in landscape.
All the time, right? Because you can't turn your TV. Maybe there's a way.
It wouldn't make any difference. You have to turn it.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Your TV doesn't know orientation.
No, it doesn't. And my TV is way too huge for that. I thought that was the coolest thing. My God, I'm like, I don't know what size my TV. It's not the biggest size, a small TV
it's
either.
It's a good size TV.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, I can watch your comic. That's huge.
That's pretty funny.
That's awesome. Well, okay, you know, I'll try it on my phone.
I don't use an Apple TV, but I wonder if I can cast it to, like, my Roku box or something. That'd be kind of fun.
I would think you could, right?
Yeah.
You can Chromecast, right?
Yeah, I have a Chromecast, too. That's right. I don't have it plugged in, but I just use my Roku box most of the time. Since, you know, I can cast to it. And I also bought a Lenovo Smart Display, so sometimes I cast at that. It's not a big TV, but it's like a 10-inch display, and it's big enough for a lot of stuff. But, at any rate, so... So the comic book reading experience, the user experience, is not nearly as good as Comixology.
I admit, but you know, for the amount of comics I can read, I don't mind it actually.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? Because there's, even though it's missing, maybe missing is not the right word. Even though DC isn't providing everything, and I can understand that, the stuff they do provide, a lot of it is stuff, or comics I have not read, or comics maybe I'm not a big enough fan that I would have, you know, bought. Well, obviously, I didn't buy them. So it's been kind of fun to go through the Nightwing stuff and Justice Society of America stuff and, you know, things that, you know, I didn't buy for one reason or another.
But it's also not comics that, I mean, they're also, I should say not comics, they're all, the comics I have are comics that I would be interested in reading.
Yeah.
I'm just not interested in paying.
Exactly.
Like,
there you go.
For an individual comic. It's not like they're, I have to say this, it's not like they're putting comics up there that I think are worthless to read.
Yeah. Well, if you're a DC fan, there's almost no such thing, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's, for me, the whole $6.25 a month, or whatever it is I'm really paying, is worth it just for reading the comics. I've probably read over a dozen comics in the couple of weeks since the service started, 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
Hmm.
So, you know, if you figure you pay $3 a comic these days, or let's say two if they're on sale.
They're $4 now.
Oh, yeah.
$3.99.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's sales stuff in Comixology, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't pay $4 for anything. But so, you know, I would have paid $30-$40 for what I've read so far, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm getting my money's worth just from the comics.
I would agree. There's a lot of comics.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comics.
Now, one thing I'm worried about, there are two things I'm worried about. One, I forgot I was reading a FAQ, an FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions, for DC Universe. And one of the things is, you know, where's the other comics, blah, 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 And they said, we'll make other comics available for purchase later. So it's
like a Comixology.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're going to make only a certain, well, we don't really know, but, you know, a certain cluster of comics available. And then the other thing I'm now worried about is, what are they going to rotate comics in and out? You know, like Netflix does with videos based on licensing?
I think so. But you know what's interesting? Is in order for me to read the comic, I have to click download.
Yes.
So I'm not sure. Is it downloading to my Apple TV?
Oh.
I mean, is a file actually being downloaded to my, Apple TV?
Do you have a recent model of the Apple TV? Like with the last... Okay, then
I don't have the 4K. I have the one right before the 4K.
Yeah. But it has like 8 gigs of RAM and stuff, so...
I got the bigger one. I got I got the larger size.
Okay, maybe 64 or whatever. But yeah, it sounds like it's actually downloading.
Right, and, so when you're reading the comics, downloading to your phone, right?
Yes. I don't have to, but I do. Since, you know, like if you're in an elevator or something, you might get cut off, so I just download it.
Yeah, so like in the Apple TV, I haven't figured out if there's a way for me to read the comic without downloading.
Oh, yeah, because I think on, if you just look, use a web browser on your Mac.
Yeah.
There's no downloading involved. You just read it, so it just renders on the fly.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's just unique with how the app works on the Apple TV.
Yeah. Well, and there's some other weird stuff too. And as I said, I don't always have Wi-Fi signal when I'm out and about and just kind of standing around reading my comic books, waiting for stuff to happen. So one of the things I've noticed is I have the on my Android phone, I have the app called, what is it called? Dataly? Yeah, Dataly, Dataly. That's a Google mobile app that kind of helps you save data. And one of the things I've noticed is that Dataly is showing, even though I've downloaded the comics, it's still talking to DC Universe when I'm on cell data.
Huh.
So, yeah. So I'll burn up a megabyte or whatever, you know. A day, just from it talking to DC Universe. And I don't understand it, because the whole point of downloading it was to read it. And now I've tried this too. So what happens if you go into airplane mode? You know, so I've turned off my radio. And, I think something's happening on sound near your microphone. But at any rate, I've turned off I've gone into airplane mode to turn off the radios on my phone. And I can still read it. So I don't know why it's being so chatty with DC Universe. It's one of the things I need to
go search for. It's one of those apps that's just trying to give too much data to the people who want it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So I'm probably looking at how long I'm staying on a panel. I don't know what it's doing, but...
Yeah. Data that someone thinks is important, but probably really isn't.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be, you know, wished for, but I'm still enjoying it despite, you know, the issues with the rendering that you've noticed on Apple TV that also exists on the Android. On the iPad, it's not as bad because I can just leave it in portrait mode, so I don't really, you know, and even the landscape panels look big enough that I can read it. So, but again, most of the time I'm just using my phone. It's just fine. The UI though is terrible. I mean, you know, once you read it, to delete it from your phone is like you gotta like do like handstands and twirl around and. You know, bay at the full moon, and you go, oh yeah, now I can remove the comic from my download.
Well, I actually, to be honest, I don't think there's. I haven't found a way to do it on my Apple TV.
Maybe your Apple TV is going to be all cluttered with comic books soon.
I don't think there is a way. I mean, the Apple TV app.
Yeah.
It's like a 0.5 version.
Oh, okay.
I think. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean about it. It's actually a pretty good app, but it's very, I feel like it's a very slimmed down app.
Yeah.
It's basic. It's like they got it to work and not crash.
Yeah.
And they gave you the bare minimum navigation that you would ever need. That's how I feel. Because there's still like with the video, right?
Right.
One of the things I don't like is that when I stop, I've been watching Batman the Animated Series.
Right.
Which I love.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it. But then I stop, right, to go get out of it, go do something, come back later in the day, right, or in the next day or whatever, start watching an episode. And then it doesn't start where I stopped. It starts, like, where I stopped, like, the day before or something. It's never where I really wanted it to stop.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't pick up that continuity, you know? It's like the early version of Netflix. on your phone, right? They didn't get the continuity right between devices.
Right.
It was always off. That was my experience. It wasn't exactly on the exact minute or second from device to device. Now it's like the Netflix apps across all my devices are incredibly synced, right? It's like I can stop on one app on a phone and go onto my Apple TV or go onto my wife's iPad, and it's exactly at the spot that I stopped, and I can resume wherever I left off. But they haven't the app that DC provided can't do that yet. It's not, the continuity is not there.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd also be nice, yeah, to just say
that's a little frustrating.
Load the next, you know, 10 issues. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like just go to the next comic book or go to the next episode?
Yeah. Just download.
Oh, like
it.
Netflix style.
Yeah.
Hulu style. Actually, I agree. They don't even have a setting for that on the Apple TV app.
And
they have a setting?
No. There's nothing like that. You got to go one at a time. So, you know, when I wanted to read, I think there's 10 or 12 issues of the Justice Society of America I wanted to read. I had to go to each one individually and download it.
Mm.
Yeah. First world problem. First world problem. Hashtag.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a first world problem. But easy enough to fix. But you know what I'm saying? It's like they want to make the launch. They made the launch. Everything functions. It doesn't crash. I haven't had it crash yet. You know, it all works. That's which is good because a lot of apps crash.
Right. It doesn't crash. Yeah. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking. By the way, you know, since it's pre-launch, really, I've seen a couple updates on my Android phone on my Pixel, and I'm looking. The last app update was September 27th, which is what, like 3 days ago. 2 days ago.
Oh.
So I've seen a couple updates to this app. It doesn't seem to be, I don't know, you know, what's really changed, to be honest. They don't have like a change log.
Oh. Oh, that's weird.
For Android, at least. They just say it's changed.
Oh.
But it's working, so I'm okay. And it's the first couple of weeks. I'm hoping that it'll get better over time, like everything else. Okay. So I think we're in agreement. It's got there's a lot more needed, but we're pretty happy with what we got, and I'm very happy with the able to, you know, download comics that I would not necessarily buy. In fact, obviously I didn't, and just kind of run through a whole bunch of issues. They have Commandy, for example. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so they've got issues 1 through 27 of Commandy.
The Jack Kirby run?
Yeah, the original Jack Kirby run.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta download that. I gotta read that.
Yeah. So, and it's funny, because I was talking to a friend of mine at work, and we were talking about Commandy, and I was saying, oh, yeah, it's on... You know, I couldn't remember how many issues Jack Kirby actually did in Commandy, at least. But I didn't think it was a lot, you know. So I thought, oh, maybe it just ended at 27. And we're talking about the issue where Superman appears, or, you know, Superman is referred to at least. And I was thinking, oh yeah, I want to go read that. So I looked at it and said, wow, there's no Superman issues among the 27, just looking at the covers. So I did some research and go, oh yeah, Superman appears in issue 29. So, not available. It's okay, not a big deal. But it's too bad, you know, since they got 27 issues. If they had just published or made two more issues available, it would have been nice. But that's okay. Okay, next is video, which is what I think you and I bought it for, but it's, I don't know about you, I'm not really using it much for video.
I'm using it a lot for video.
Are you? What did you watch so far?
I watched Batman Begins.
Okay, which disappears tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, well, I already have it on
I have it on Blu-ray DVD. Or DVD. Or yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, I'm going to watch and see. I'm going to watch it on the app and see how good it is. I really liked it. And then I've been watching Batman Animated Series. I saw two episodes.
Yeah.
And then you know those DC Nation shorts?
Yeah.
I really wish they had all the episodes. Because I only get the first episode of whatever the story is.
Right.
And some of them are actually really good.
Yeah.
So I hope that one day they'll, you know, show the next episodes of whatever I just saw.
Right.
So I watched all of them. And then I started watching The Adventures of Superboy because I wanted to watch it forever.
Right. The 1980s, late 80s, early 90s, yeah.
And then I was disappointed when I watched the first episode. It was so bad.
It gets better.
I hear it gets better, but it's like the first episode was like, oh, cheesy. My God.
Yeah.
It was so awful. I was like, wait a minute. I read online that everyone thinks this is like one of the best Superman shows ever. And it's like, how did this happen?
Actually, when the actor, not that the actor's bad or anything, but when the actor playing Superboy switches, I think in season two, for some reason, the storylines get better too.
Yeah, the first episode with Lana Lang's Professor Father, I was like,
yeah,
this is just awful.
Too much late teen angst.
I know. It was so awful. And Lex Luthor, the acting is horrible. The plot was bad. The dialogue was it's hard to believe that it lasted for 4 or 5 years and had such a dedicated cult following.
Yeah, and there's some good stuff when there's some parallel universe stuff that's you'll see later. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I never saw it because it wasn't in South Bend. I think it came on when I was in college, right? It was like late 80s, early 90s?
Late 80s. I think it's 88 through 92 or something.
Yeah, so I was in college. And they did. There was no channel that had it in South Bend, right? So I never got to see it. I only heard about it and read about it. And so I was like, oh, wow, finally, I can finally watch Superboy. And I'm like, this is what people have been talking about? I mean, really?
And, you know, you can skip to the next season or two because it's
not, I think I will.
It's not like, you know, it's not like modern day shows that have a continuous storyline going. It's there are a couple of two-parters, but it, generally speaking, it's, you know.
It's episodic.
Episodic, yeah. Truly episodic.
Okay, sure. I saw Gotham by Gaslight.
Okay.
Because I wanted to watch it so badly, but I didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah. I just started watching Batman Ninja.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch that one.
Yeah.
And then I want to watch Death of Superman.
Yeah.
And supposedly Reign of the Superman is coming out, and I'm hoping it'll come to the service. Because, like, Death of Superman just came out.
Oh, is that one of the new ones? Yeah.
Yeah, that's like just brand new, and you can still buy it on iTunes.
Yeah. Oh, like Batman Ninja is a 2018 release, so that's one of the few new ones also.
Yeah. Even Gotham by Gaslight is this year, I think.
Yeah.
So that, I like that part because I like the DC animation movies. So so I've been watching things like that. So I've been enjoying the video a lot. I wanted to watch the Wonder Woman show.
The original,
Yeah, the original with Linda Carter. So I was watching it, right? Yeah. And then my wife was there. She says, nah, it's too 70s. And she tried to watch the Superboy one with me. And she's like, oh my God, this is so bad.
Yeah. Well, there's also Lois and Clark. I don't know if it's a full run, but it's a nice run of Lois and Clark. I think it's the first couple of seasons at least.
Oh, yeah. I think she'll like that one. We used to watch that one together on Sundays.
Yeah.
I really liked that series. That was a really good one.
Yeah, it was awesome. Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher. Both of whom have appeared on Supergirl.
Yes. Yep. They both appeared in Supergirl.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about the service itself. So one of the things, you know, we kind of alluded to is the limited run. So the Batman movies that you've been watching, are only available until September 30th, and we're talking at 29th, so it disappears on the last day of this month. All of the Batman runs. I don't know about other videos. If hopefully they're not going to, you know, hope they didn't expect anybody to watch the whole Lois and Clark run in 2 weeks. That's a little bit above and beyond. So I'm a little bit worried about how videos are going to be maintained. The Batman stuff, for example, was only 2 or 3 weeks, right? So
yeah, I don't know, I figure they'll have something else. I'm not that worried.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them all, so it's not a big deal for me. But, you know, I'm kind of worried that, you know, like Batman Ninja, is that going to disappear tomorrow before I finish it? Or, you know, and, you know, is it like on based on East Coast time? So does it disappear at 6 p.m. for us in Hawaii? 6 p.m. on Sunday night? I don't know. I guess we'll find out in less than a day.
Yeah, it'll be a first test. I mean, the programmers for DC Universe streaming service can't be that stupid. If I mean, if they pull too much content, they're not going to have anything there for people to want to buy it and subscribe and keep it, you know.
Yeah, and I guess we'll learn more in October, which is a Monday.
I have a feeling they're trying, they're experimenting. They're not sure what to expect.
Maybe, yeah. I think that's certainly a good a guess as any. But I wish they had more of a explicit policy on, you know, what, how long things are going to be on. And, you know, like Netflix will tell you, right? It'll be on, well, they maybe don't tell you, but at least you know when stuff is leaving.
Yeah, well, like some like of them, like Crackle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched Crackle.
That's Sony, right?
Things leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Sony. That's Sony's free service.
Right.
Crackle will tell you when it leaves. So I would appreciate that. I mean, Netflix doesn't tell you that, does it? It tell you when the thing's going to come off.
It doesn't tell you. Well, it tells you when things appear, when things are new.
But yeah, but it doesn't tell you when it's going to disappear.
It tells somebody. It must be on a blog or something, because CNN and other news sources, every month they publish, you know, these are the things leaving Netflix. And
I mean, personally, I wish it was like Crackle. I wish all the streaming services were like that. It would tell me when it's going to leave. Like, Hulu will tell you.
Yeah.
Like, expires, and the CW app will tell you expires in 5 days or expires in 2 days. But not all the services do that. So, I mean, if DC Universe is listening, please do that. Do something like that so you can warn people when it's going to disappear.
Yeah. Well, DC Universe does have a you know, pretty substantial text for the Batman movie saying to disappear after September 30th, so.
Yeah.
They are saying, at least for that one, they're saying, I'm just worried about others that maybe not as prominent that they're not seeing.
Well, I want to rewatch all the Superman movies.
Yeah.
They have all four.
Yep. The Christopher Reeve stuff, yep.
I was like, what? Even Quest for Peace.
Yeah, Superman 4.
Which I actually really love. I actually really like that.
I think there's something wrong with you, Jay.
I like a lot of things a lot of people don't like. That's but true. I love the Superman films. I love all the Superman films. And Quest for Peace, I went into it knowing it wasn't going to be a good movie. And right. I just took it for what it was, and I enjoyed it. It's campy. It's silly. But I liked it.
Right.
It has a good message. No more nuclear war.
Right.
Get rid of nuclear bombs. So... you can't fault that. Fault them for that. You know. I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that's on Netflix or Hulu and how, I mean, some of the movies that are horrendously bad.
Yeah.
I'm going, if that's the worst they can put on DC Universe, that's not that bad. That's actually much more entertaining than a lot of the other stuff that you can see on Hulu or Netflix. I'd rather watch Quest for Peace than a lot of the other stuff that I can see on some of the other streaming services.
Right, right, right. Okay, so let me see. What else do we have in our notes? Okay, stuttering. Are you seeing stuttering on your Apple TV app?
No, not in the video.
Not at all.
I don't. None. No stuttering.
Okay,
in the video, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Nah. The only navigation I have issues with is with the comic because I can't figure it out. I haven't been able to figure it out how to do it smoothly.
Right.
Which way am I supposed to swipe or tap? I'll just learn it.
You need to turn your TV portrait mode. No, I'm kidding.
Yes. But video-wise, the only problem I have is where it resumes.
Okay.
It can't remember properly, but it will resume.
Just not where you want it to be.
No, not where I stopped.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any kind of... video issues. It's actually been rock solid for me. Well, on my Apple TV. I haven't tried it on my phone.
Right. So I've been watching videos on my iPad Pro, the older 9.7. model. That's 2 years old, I think. And I've also been watching it. I was watching Batman Ninja on my MacBook Air. And both times I saw stuttering. You know, little pauses, not terrible, but noticeable. So I have seen that. And, you know, it may be that Apple TV does really good caching. You know, that's one of the things people like about
it. Nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the original.
Yeah. So, or
the first puck, the one that was really small. That was not that good. But, yeah, Apple TV has been really good.
Yeah.
I have noticed that when I tried to watch Superman, the first Superman.
Right.
With Marlon Brando.
Right.
It took a while for it to start.
Oh, I've kind of seen that happen, too. It's like it takes a long time to buffer.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's going on? And then, but then it just works.
Right.
And I haven't any, and it doesn't, I don't have any skips or stutters.
Right.
In the playback.
Right.
You know, and I haven't had pixelation either.
No, not pixelation. I haven't seen that kind of problem. Just.
Yeah,
just
like Hulu will do that or Netflix will do that.
Right.
You know, when my speed gets slow. Right. But I haven't seen that.
And again, like the comic books, I gotta say, it just needs a better user interface. It is. Just,
I would agree.
It's just very clunky. It's like, wow, didn't you guys look at Netflix or something? You know, see how it works. I think the problem is they looked at Amazon Prime, which has an equally clunky
interface. Amazon Prime, the interface sucks.
Right.
But when I think of the interface problem I see with it is that it's hard to find things.
Yeah.
And hard to, I can't really create a list. I can't see my list. I can favorite things. But the thing that I, on the Apple TV, I think it works really well in terms of the basic control interface once the video is working.
Right.
It's more like finding stuff and then creating some sort of list. The issue I have is that the captions don't work.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what, on the Apple TV app, the captions are hit or miss. Like you might get 5 words and not get it for the rest of the video, or you might get it a line every 5-10 minutes.
Why do you need captions, out of curiosity?
Oh, I always watch with captions.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I always watch with captions.
So you don't miss words?
Yep. So I hear I read everything. Yeah.
Right.
So I watch with my parents had really hard hearing.
Yeah.
They were very hard of hearing as they got older, so they watched everything with captions. Closed captioning or everything was captioned. So when we watch DVDs, we always watch with captions. So we can, because I can't hear everything. You know, my hearing has been going for a while now, but it's not horrible. Right. But there's a few things I just can't discern.
Well, you know, as you get older, you have high frequency loss, so that's understandable.
Yeah. So, but for years, ever since we got like DVDs.
Right.
We watch with captions.
Interesting.
Yeah. In fact, if I could watch films in the movie theater with captions, I'd love it. I actually went to go see a film with my daughter and her friend when they were in high school.
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh, you know, this is the closed captioning version." So I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's okay. I forget what movie it was. Some movie.
Was it a foreign movie?
No. It was just a regular movie.
Regular movie.
But
interesting.
Yeah, because at the movie theater, there's closed captioning days.
Oh,
closed, they have closed captions
for hearing impaired
showings for those who are hearing impaired. Right?
Yeah,
which is great. Which I think, I mean, because you could be older, or you could have a hearing issue,
right,
or you could be, you know, any number of things, right?
Right.
So, or you could just be like me, someone who
just want to read all the words.
Yeah, I want to know exactly what's going on.
That's pretty funny. Right?
So, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It was like me being at home watching it on my television. So on my Apple TV, closed captioning is default for us.
Right.
And we do it on Netflix, Hulu, any of the services. We always put captions.
Right.
You know, so we never miss anything, you know. So that's the one thing about it is like, I mean, it says caption. And sometimes it says captions pending.
Hmm.
Meaning like the captions aren't there yet. And other times it says captions by Warner Brothers, but there are no captions.
Oh.
Right? So, like, there'll be, like, the first, like, line.
Right.
And then you won't see it for the rest of the show.
Right.
You know? So, I really wish they would fix that.
Wow. I'm just putting that in.
And, you know, on Apple TV, you can only turn the captions on and off in settings.
No, I didn't know that. I don't use an Apple TV anymore. I only had the first gen. And then I switched to Roku.
So they you can't shut it off per app, right?
Yeah.
So your default, I don't think so. Like if you're on your phone or your Netflix is on your phone, you can click captions on and off whenever you want, right?
Yeah.
But in Apple TV, you have to go to settings and put closed captioning on or off.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then it's on for everything.
Okay, so we're running into 50 minutes, and I want to get to... So basically, video, again, a lot of work, but enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with it so far. I'm really looking forward to seeing Titans in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The previews, which are available in the app, the video previews are kind of interesting.
Did you see the new ones? Would they feature the individual characters?
Yes, Beast Boy and Starfire and... Yeah.
I saw the Robin one, and I think we're going to get an explanation for the FU Batman.
Yes. Especially when we see the Dick Grayson Batman meet the Jason Todd, Robin Nightwing meet the Jason Todd Robin. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that should be very interesting. Okay. So last couple of things, other than comics and video, it has other stuff too, like news. Okay, now you know, I saw the very first DC panel, and then I can't find it in interface. Is it still there?
Yeah.
I can't find it.
I searched for DC Daily.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I searched for DC Daily and made it a favorite, and I can find it that way.
Okay. Otherwise, it's not easily discoverable at all.
Well, you know, it's also, you can watch DC Daily on...
YouTube.
On YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're using DC Daily not just for people who have the service, but as a way to try and convince people to buy the service.
Okay.
So if you're on YouTube, you can watch it and then it's...
Yeah.
They say, subscribe to the service.
That said, I watched... It was highlighted during the pre-service launch, so I watched part of the first daily news panel episode, and there wasn't much news. It was just kind of giddy, happy talk.
Yeah.
So I didn't return to it. What have you seen? You know, the subsequent ones that came after it. And
yeah. So if you look at the first one they had when they launched the service,
yeah,
was basically all the people in DC Daily, which is like 20 people.
Yeah, it was a ton of people.
They hired a ridiculous amount of people to do it, right? And they're all on that big couch and they're all together. And John Barrowman is, you know, being funny and everyone.
Yeah.
You know, they're all kind of giggling with them. They're making inside jokes and, well, we love DC. We're total, you know, DC nerds and all this kind of stuff. So if you watch like the regular DC Daily that would occur on regular days. So there's a woman, I forget her name. She does the news, right? So she'll do the news. That news is first.
Oh, okay.
And then one of the other people may then do something else that's like a news or some sort of special feature.
Right.
And then they usually end with a panel. So they take a subset of that big group.
That was on the first episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So they take a subset of that group, and then there's a moderator or host.
Right.
Right. And then they pose a question or they talk about a something. So like the one I saw was they were talking about Death of Superman.
Okay.
And not the movie. But I think it was partly to promote the film that they had just released in the animated film. But they were talking about the comic itself, that individual comic, the death of Superman, the impact it had and the history upon the culture and what it meant to them.
Right.
So that was a little bit interesting. But, you know, I'm not really into watching panels of people on YouTube talk about stuff. So I watch it for a little bit and I get some of their opinions and I just move on to the next thing. I'm more interested in the news part. So the regular DC Daily every day will have news. And I think on Friday is when they get everyone together.
Oh.
Right? That's like the Friday is like they're capping off the week.
Right.
And so that's when all the different, you know, panelists are there. And then they talk about stuff. Right.
So it's probably the least interesting of the daily updates if they're just gabbing versus providing information.
Some people like that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Right. Some people like to hear other people talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm, unless it's a really engaging conversation, you know, like some kind of, you know, like podcasts, right? You know, if they're engaging, then I'll listen to it. But if it's not that engaging, you know, in terms of the discussion, that's something I might learn or I'm interested in, I just kind of either I fast forward through it or I just kind of watch a little bit of it and then I go, I'm not really interested in this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. There are a couple of podcasts I've listened to for years that are kind of on the on the bubble for being cut because they've been less and less informative. Versus,
yeah, you know, or at least entertaining, right? If they're not informative, at least they're entertaining, right?
Yeah.
So I think right now a lot of the panelists, they're still trying to figure out what does this mean, because they took a lot of the people from DC All Access.
Right.
And then they're on DC Daily now, right?
Right.
It's like, I don't know, I'm not even sure if they're still doing DC All Access shows. I feel like they replaced it with DC Daily. I think they got to kind of figure out, you know, really what they want the show to be. If they just want it to be like this, or, like, to me, you watch the Star Wars show?
Which Star Wars? No, I don't.
It's called The Star Wars Show. It's on YouTube?
Nope, I do not.
So I watch The Star Wars Show. It comes on every week. It's really, I really like it because I'm a big Star Wars fan, but they have news, and then they have feature stories, and then they have an interview. And they have jokes and everything. The two hosts are pretty good. So that kind of stuff I can watch, you know, pretty well. It's like 9 minutes long, 10 minutes. They'll interview maybe Ron Howard, or they'll interview like a person like Ray Park, or they'll interview someone who voices one of the characters in the animated films, or they'll interview Dave Filoni. So that's a show that's kind of interesting, right? But DC Daily right now, it's like a bunch of people who like comics and like DC Comics who just talk about it.
Right.
And I'm not really into that. But
right.
Some people are.
Right.
Some people want to listen to that kind of stuff. So I've never really been one for that kind of entertainment. So I think if they could make it more kind of like the Star Wars show, where they had news, maybe feature some interviews, bring in some people who are kind of more like actors who can bring in a little bit more humor and have things that are a little bit more scripted, then I think it might be a more interesting show for me.
Because
It's clear to me that if they talk about if the panelists prep beforehand of what they're going to talk about, it doesn't seem like they're very well prepared. It really just seems completely ad-libbed from the hip, kind of spontaneous.
Right.
And that's, some people are trying to go for that in their YouTube videos.
Right.
So it's not, I thought it was going to be like a show.
That's what, right? I thought.
But it's not like a scripted news.
Right. It's more personality driven.
Yes. It's basically a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's basically a YouTube channel. That's
so basically we're too old is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. That's right. It's just not my kind of entertainment. I'm like, why do you want to watch these people? Like,
right.
That's not for me. That's okay. Hey, if you want to watch it, that's up to you.
All right. So shutting this down, since we're almost at the 1 hour mark now.
Wow.
Yeah. We had a lot to say.
Yeah. it's a good service.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good service. I think if you pre-ordered, you get the best deal.
15 months instead of 12.
15 months instead of 12. Yep. If you like DC stuff.
And we do.
Right.
A lot.
And I do. Right? I mean, yep. I wish Marvel would do this.
Absolutely.
Frick. Marvel should do this.
Yes.
Dark Horse should do this. I mean, people just do this. I mean, why not? You know? I mean, take everything, you know, remove everything from Netflix. Just stop putting things on Netflix. Put it on your own service, you know? Do whatever you want, you know? Don't even put it part of Disney. Just brand it, you know? Make it
maybe it'll be part of the new Disney streaming service.
I don't know. I really think Disney does not know what to do with their streaming service.
Well, it's going to launch next year.
It is. But you know what? Did you hear the announcement?
No.
They're going to have a Scarlet Witch and a Loki TV series on ABC. Is it on ABC or in the streaming service?
I thought it was
ABC.
I don't know.
Oh, no. I think it's going to be on the streaming service. So there's going to be a Scarlet Witch TV show.
So that's one of the draws.
With the actor.
Right.
I forget her name. But
right.
The one from the movie. And then the same guy who played Loki from the movie is going to be Loki.
Tom Hiddleston.
Right, Hiddleston, right.
Yeah.
And then...
and something, you know, Olsen.
Yes, yeah. I don't remember her first name.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be in the streaming service. I think so. But, like, I also heard that they're going to create some sort of all-female TV show on ABC.
Hmm. You mean Marvel.
Marvel, right?
Hmm.
On ABC, right? See, in my mind, I think Disney is fragmenting their Marvel TV efforts way too much. Right, so you got ABC stuff, which hit or miss, right? You got Netflix stuff. You're gonna have the Disney streaming, right? I think they need to consolidate it someplace. That's my personal feeling.
and then just do what they want to do. Because I still feel to this day that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be better on a streaming service.
Really?
I think so, because I think by being on network television, it hinders them of what they can do and what they want to do. I that's my personal feeling. I really think that they would be better off, you know, doing direct streaming on whatever service.
Right.
And I think that the Netflix shows are, except for like Luke Cage.
Right.
And maybe the first season of Daredevil, I think are suffering from being whoever runs those Netflix shows of just liking things that are too slow.
Oh, yeah.
They're
glacial.
They're glacially slow. It's not interesting. I'm sorry. It's not. You got to wait 5 episodes for something to happen?
I know.
I mean, come on.
That's the reason I still haven't watched Daredevil season 2. I didn't get past the first episode of Punisher. I didn't watch any. Well, I think I watched half of Jessica Jones' first season. Luke Cage, I watched the entire first season because I really enjoyed that.
I didn't watch the second one, but yeah. The first one was good. First one was good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I really, and you know, the whole debacle with Inhumans, how they just messed that up.
Oh, that was just, that didn't even last a couple episodes, I think.
Right, and then Black Bolt, right now he's on Discovery.
Right.
Star Trek Discovery?
Yeah.
He's Pike.
Yeah, Captain Christopher Pike.
You know, and that whole debacle with Inhumans, that was wrong. That was just so wrong.
Well, like we said, we would watch just Lockjaw.
Yes.
Right. Lockjaw.
Yeah. Lockjaw, the TV series. And it's like the Hulk.
Make it happen.
He just appears in different towns and helps people, right? And then moves on to another town.
Right. Make it so.
Yeah. And make it so. And then he could have not a backpack, but he could have something around his neck.
Yep. He could be like a Swiss rescue dog.
Yes. Like Banner had his backpack. And he could always look back at you.
Right.
Right. You see, I mean, you know, Disney, if, I don't know, if, would they own, do they own Incredible Hulk TV series?
I think that's Sony. Fox?
It's Sony, right?
Yeah, one of those two.
See, that's too bad. See, at least in DC, in
although he shows up in Avengers.
What?
The Hulk.
No, I mean the old Incredible Hulk TV show.
Oh, the Hulk TV show, no, I don't know.
So, okay, look, if you look at DC Universe, right, you got the old Wonder Woman, right?
Right.
You got Batman animated. You have all these classic shows, right? You got Batman Brave and Bold. You got Batman animated series. You got the whole 4 Superman movies. You got most of the Batman films, right? Except Dark Knight Rises, right? You got all this stuff, right? So they embraced like this old stuff that people might like and new stuff that people might like, right?
Right.
I think Marvel should do the same thing. They should get this streaming service that has like the old TV show with Bill Bixby, because I love that show, right? Yeah. And they'll bring back the Spider-Man cartoon, the old one, right? You remember the old Fantastic Four cartoon?
I do.
Wasn't there a Submariner cartoon?
There was,
right?
And Iron Man too.
There was an old Iron Man cartoon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So bring them all back and put them on the service. You know, I mean, I think that would be awesome. That would, you get nostalgia. You're reliving your, you know, the past, and some of that. Those shows have a certain quaintness to them that you just can't get nowadays, right?
That's true.
Even DC Universe, I was surprised they went back and they have these Superman serials. Did you see that?
From the 1940s, the Fleischer stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the Fleischer, but they had the live action. If you can see.
The Kirk Allen stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had the George Reeves.
Yep. The original TV. Right? Yeah, the TV series.
So for me, it's not really for me. I didn't grow up with that, but for people who grew up with that, right? That's a great way to relive those years, right?
Absolutely.
Their memories. And I thought that was a really, I thought that was a.
Yeah, also the Adventures of Superman, the George Reeves stuff, it doesn't stream anywhere as far as I know.
Yeah, you can't get it anywhere. So I thought they did a good collection of new and old, right? And I think that the Marvel should embrace that and Disney should embrace that and package it in such a way that people, you know, relatively affordable, people will pay for it instead of having this stuff all over the place. At least DC has like CW, right?
Right.
And DC Universe. That's pretty much it, you know, except for Gotham, which is ending.
Yes.
Right? And then the only other one is Lucifer, which got canceled and picked up by Netflix.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
You know, so, I mean, but superhero-wise, right? Because to me, Gotham really isn't a superhero show in a way. So it's pretty well-defined. You know, so I don't know. That's my opinion in terms of the Marvel TV series. Package it as a stream service, yeah. And then people would pay. I would pay. If it's good content, I would pay.
All righty. Okay, we're past an hour, so I'm going to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is going to take a long time to compress. Oh. Yeah. But at any rate, so this one, you know, kind of a nod to two of our favorite artists, Norman Breitfogel, Maurice Sever, mm-hmm. and then a really long discussion of DC Universe, which launched a couple of weeks ago. Hope you found some of the information useful. Hopefully DC will listen to us one day and fix stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly UI.
Yes.
We can only... But I'm pretty sure they'll fix it without listening to us, but... You know, sooner is better than later. Okay, folks, so this has been Comics News Podcast 101, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.